Very good afternoon, everyone. Time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92, where we get together with registered dietitian, nutritionist, that's a mouthful, dietitian, nutritionist,
yeah.
Amber Boyens of Immune Nutrition and Madison Healthcare Services.
That's right.
Okay, how are you doing this afternoon there, Amber?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good.
You know, they changed that to make it less confusing because people...
well, what did it used to be?
It just used to be a registered dietitian, which is very clear,
okay.
But nobody knew what a dietitian did. Okay. So then they thought, well, we'll just add nutritionist onto the end of it,
okay.
And then people will know we do nutrition. So it's a registered dietitian nutritionist, which is very different than a nutritionist.
Okay. Registered dietitian nutritionist.
That's right.
That's the correct title.
That is.
That is a mouthful.
It is a lot.
Well, it is something we... well, it's not like Christmas or Thanksgiving like we celebrate, but it's food allergy week this week, and something we're not, you know, joyous about.
No.
But something we need to address, I guess, right?
It really is. And you know that this one is kind of meaningful to me because I have a child with a pretty severe food allergy. And because of that, I ended up doing a course through FAIR, which is Food Allergy Research and Education. It's a great organization that helps support research and awareness and all of that for food allergies, which continue to rise in prevalence. There are about 20 million Americans that have food allergies, and about 90% of those are accounted for by the top nine, which we'll talk about here in just a second. And I think it's really important to recognize, too, that food allergies do not only develop in childhood. So you can develop a food allergy at any point in life. I have an aunt and an uncle who developed allergies to shrimp and celery as adults.
I actually have a food allergy.
Do you?
I'm allergic. Yes, I do. I'm allergic to crunchy onions in my potato salad and nuts in my ice cream.
You know, this is such a great segue. into an important part of this conversation. Okay. I used to work at a large hospital in the Twin Cities, and people would always come in and they'd say things like, I'm allergic to onion. And I would have to say, are you allergic to onion or do you not like onion? Because if you tell me you're allergic,
maybe that's my problem.
You're not getting anything with onion powder, anything onion related in it. And then they usually say, oh yeah, I just don't like it.
Okay. All right.
So
I'll admit it. That's it.
It's just a like dislike kind of thing, a food preference, if you will.
Back to the subject at hand.
Food allergies.
Right.
And we'll talk a little bit about what allergies are because I think there are some misconceptions. Not everybody really understands what they are. But like I said, 90% of them are accounted for by nine foods. And those foods are egg, dairy, peanut, tree nut, fish, shellfish, soy, wheat, and sesame. So sesame is maybe the one that a lot of people aren't familiar with. That one got added a couple of years ago as one of the top nine that needs to be labeled. And we'll talk about food labeling because it's a little bit tricky when it comes to food allergies. Some of it's clear, some of it's confusing. But first, I think it's important to know, what is a food allergy? So a food allergy, sometimes people use the word food allergy interchangeably with a sensitivity or an intolerance, but they are very different things. So a food allergy is your body's immune system, specifically IgE antibodies, attacking your body when you eat a certain food. So that can result in something as simple as itchiness, but it could be hives, nausea, vomiting, swelling of your throat or your lips or your mouth. Anaphylaxis, which people have typically thought of as just kind of your throat closing up and difficulty breathing, which can be fatal. Anaphylaxis can be that, but it can also be any combination of two other symptoms. So for example, hives and vomiting is also anaphylaxis. And an anaphylactic reaction requires an EpiPen or epinephrine as a treatment. They actually just approved recently for children 4 and older an epinephrine nasal spray is a brand new treatment for food allergies. So that's kind of new and exciting. But it is important to recognize that it's different from an intolerance and a sensitivity. Now, that doesn't mean that it is more severe or worse or anything like that. It is just a completely different reaction of the body. So if you have a lot of digestive issues when you eat a certain food, that's not likely a food allergy. That's likely an intolerance or a sensitivity. Same thing with headaches and some of those other systems that can respond. It doesn't mean that those aren't bad. It doesn't mean that those aren't very real reactions, but they're not food allergies. So how do we know if it's a food allergy? sometimes people will send in like a swab or something like an oral swab or something like that to have tested by a company. But saliva or blood tests alone cannot diagnose a food allergy. So if we do a blood test and we see high levels of IgE, that antibody that it responds to a food that we're allergic to or any allergen, if we have high levels, it means we're sensitized. People can be sensitized and not allergic and not react to that food. So a skin test, where a lot of people have probably had that done, where they've had little scratches done in their skin of different allergens, be it environmental or food or anything else, that scratch test and then the actual reaction that you have is more important than what a blood test can show you. So it's really important to be tested with an allergist if you think that you do have a food allergy or that your child has a food allergy. Important to get that skin test done. And then again, the body's actual reaction is always going to be the most important. People ask me a lot about prevention. If I could tell you how to prevent a food allergy, I wouldn't have children with food allergies. We don't fully know why they develop. We have theories and things that appear to make it more likely.
Well, that's going to be my question because, you know, I'm sure you heard this a lot. Right, when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
you know, nobody had food allergies.
Exactly.
Or hardly anybody had food allergies. You never heard about it. Maybe they did, but you just weren't aware, thought it was something else. But mm-hmm. Why is it so prevalent now when it wasn't before?
Such a great question. And there's a few reasons it might be. One thing that we found out, so prevalence of peanut allergy was rising, and the American Pediatric Association and the equivalent association in Britain, they thought they needed to do something. So they just told people to start avoiding peanuts until age 2. Well, when they did that, peanut allergy skyrocketed, and we had even more children with peanut allergy. So what we do know is that it appears that early introduction of allergens is likely beneficial. So introducing things like peanut and egg early on is a likely one thing that may help prevent food allergy. Now, I introduced egg early on with my kid. That didn't make a difference. One of the other things that they look at is that it might be exposure through our skin before oral exposure. So if you have skin barrier breakdown like eczema or other types of rashes or skin conditions, and let's say I have a fried egg sandwich, and then I pick up my crying baby and my hand is touching exposed areas of their skin, if they're introduced to food through their skin versus orally first, that could increase the risk for a food allergy. Certain deficiencies seem to be associated, like maybe a vitamin D deficiency. But again, I come back to the gut every single time, and it appears that the gut has something to do with it. So some things that we believe reduce the risk of developing a food allergy, they tend to be less common in breastfed babies and formula fed, although again, breastfed my children, they still had food allergies. They tend to be less prevalent in rural areas than in urban areas. They tend to be less common with more gut diversity, which is not an easy thing for us to test. So we do think that there might be something to the fact that, like, you know, people are much more hygienic than they have been in the past, or more sanitized than we have been in the past. You didn't grow up loading your hands up with hand sanitizer. A lot of people, if we look at, you know, generations that didn't take a bath every day. And now we have a lot of children who take baths every day. And now I'm not telling you to not wash your hands. I'm not telling you to not bathe your children. But we just have a lot more antibacterial things. We have less gut diversity. And it appears to potentially increase risk for food allergies.
Interesting.
Yeah. But we don't know.
Well, that's what it says here, is a variety of factors. I was checking you out online. And
good.
Said that nobody really knows, but it's could be all kinds of things.
Environmental. Genetics, maybe. Yeah, right. Environment. Yep. There's so many different things that could trigger it. And really the only treatment for it, avoidance of the food. And then there's something called oral introduction therapy, where we introduce very tiny quantities very slowly over a period of time. It doesn't work for everybody, and you have to continue that for a long time. Like if you maybe have to have 2 peanut M&Ms every day in order to maintain that sensitivity or that improvement to peanuts if you had a peanut allergy. So there are clinics that do that. It's certainly an option. Some kids grow out of them, no two food allergies are exactly the same. People react differently. I think it's just important to recognize that it's not an overreaction. If a parent is coming to you with a diagnosed food allergy, I can tell you from experience, it is not fun to deal with. It's very stressful as a parent. It's hard to trust other people to feed your kid, and they're going to read food labels, because food labels only have to put the allergen itself on there clearly if it is in a facility that has cross-contamination. That is optional labeling. They don't have to label that. And some kids are sensitive to even cross-contamination. So we've been very fortunate with family and teachers and classmates' parents that have all been so supportive in our journey. But not every family is that way. So just be aware that these are out there. If you think that your kid has a food allergy or that you have a food allergy, talk to your care team and maybe get a referral to an allergist.
All right. And just because you don't like onions in your potato salad.
Does not mean you're allergic.
Doesn't mean you're allergic to them. Okay, I learned that. Okay. Well, thanks, Amber. Some good information there. If they are looking for more, how do they find you?
Yep. You can find me online at immunutrition.com. That's I-M-U, nutrition.com. Or on Facebook at immunutrition. Or come on up to the clinic here in Madison and see me there.
All right. We'll see you again next week on another Taco Tuesday.
Sounds great. Thank you.